podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the 1865 Match Report. We're recording this the morning after a 2-1 defeat at home to Arsenal. Forest made three changes to the team that played last week. Nuno Tavares is ineligible against his old club. Yates and Hudson-Odoi were replaced by Gibbs-White and Nico Williams. So we started with Turner in goal, a back four of Montiel, Omobamadeli, Murillo and Toffolo. In midfield, we had Mangala and Danilo alongside Dominguez and Williams. And I'll talk a little bit about the formation in a bit. And then up front, we had Gibbs-White just behind Chris Wood. I've been joined by Tom Newton, who was at the game as well. But just before that, a quick summary of the events. So in the first half, according to me, we had a majestic defensive display. There were no shots on target that I'm aware of. We spent most of the game trapped in our own half, sitting very, very deep, but we did excellent work cutting out their passing lanes and not falling for the traps that Arsenal were trying to set to get us to come forwards. In the second half, Wood came off, replaced by Taiwo Awoniyi, which was a welcome surprise. And there was much more attacking intent from Forest, and including us getting the first shot on target of the game, but we were undone by mistakes, which is an all too common issue for us. So, Tom, how was it for you?
Well, first and foremost, it was hard to work out the formation regarding the midfield because obviously Danilo was in there, Mangala was in there, Dominguez, and then we didn't know where Williams was kind of going to play. But I think it was just a matter of making the midfield compact because obviously they were, you know, that you're going to concede a lot of possession against Arsenal with Saka, Odegaard, Declan Rice just keep turning the ball over and everything. But first off, defensively, we was absolutely sound. And like you've said, no shots on target. Omobamadeli and Murillo had a really good game for us. And I think when you look at Arsenal and everything, you just kind of think when they've got like Saka and players like that, you just know that they're going to hurt you. And I thought they didn't really bother us. I mean, they had a lot of the ball and they did look dangerous, but Turner hasn't, at this point, hasn't had a save to make, which going at 0-0, regroup and everything. And I think it was a case of like, keep it quiet for an hour, then unleash Alanga and Awoniyi. Yeah. And obviously Awoniyi came on because Chris Wood was feeling, according to Nuno in his post-match. So I think the game plan, it was clear to see and it was working because yeah. We just, like you said, we didn't fall into the traps what Arsenal were trying to set. And I thought it, first half, without seeing too much of the ball, I thought it was a decent performance from Forest.
Yeah, I just want to say, so I thought it was basically a 4-4-2, which is like a throwback formation in some ways, but it was that so that we had Dominguez and Williams basically helping out the fullbacks and preventing any attacks from the flanks. So Arsenal had to go through the middle. And one of the things I noticed, there was one point where Dominguez, I think it was maybe Zinchenko or something, and was coming up the wing. And Dominguez was kind of standing off him, and the bloke behind me suddenly yelled, "Get closer to him, get closer to him." But I looked across, and there was like three Arsenal players behind Dominguez, and Dominguez just cut off the passing lane. So all Zinchenko could do was play it forward to Saka, and Toffolo just took it off him. And I was like, that's what we were doing. We were just giving them only bad options.
Yeah, and I noticed that they were doubling up on Saka because obviously we know how dangerous he is when he cuts in on the left, and which he did get his goal on the night later on via a mistake. But I noticed quite a few times when he was on that right side, Toffolo went out to him, and it was a combination of Dominguez sometimes went out and doubled up on him, or Danilo or Mangala, and it worked. And like I said, we kept them quiet for the first half. I mean, they had a lot of the ball, but they didn't really do much with it. I mean, it was that deflected shot what went just over the bar, and then that one what just whistled past the post for a corner kind of thing. But first and foremost, Forest were defensively sound, especially in the first half last night.
The other thing I noticed was like when we played Brighton, they kept on putting their foot on the ball and inviting us to press them, and then we fell for it, and then they'd just go through the holes. Whereas Arsenal were trying that
all through the first half, Raya and Zinchenko especially. And again, this bloke behind me was yelling, press him, press him. But we didn't. And it suddenly meant that, well, they had to try and pass through us and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, I got how the game plan was last night, but I did joke at the to my dad next to me. I said, when the groundsman come out at half-time, they'll only have to pitchfork the one half because we haven't even been in the other half. And that what actually happened, because I usually go to downstairs for the toilet and everything. Before. I'm going to see what the groundsman actually do. And they only did the half what... the Trent end off the pitch, because that's why that's where Arsenal were attacking, you see. So, I think the game plan was going according to plan last night. But as we'll mention in a minute, you can't legislate for costly mistakes, especially at this level.
So second half comes out, we sees Taiwo come on for Chris Wood. As he mentioned, Nuno said it was illness and he came on a bit earlier than we wanted. I did think he looked a bit rusty, but he definitely gave Saliba something different to think about. And you could see how much we missed him straight away. And because of that, we probably played with a bit more attacking intent. And it was us that forced the first shot on target. I think it was Toffolo maybe, that had a header that forced a save out of them. But then they got a save straight after. I know we're going to talk about him later on, but I have to say there was a fantastic save from Turner as well at about 10 minutes in.
Yeah, as I mentioned on the pod previously, and we'll mention it a bit more in depth in a couple of minutes, but I even applauded that. I thought it was a decent save because it took a deflection and obviously he's had to redirect himself to get him the way of the shot. And even I applauded that. I thought, yeah, that was a good save from him. And I'm not being like patronising or anything like that. I thought it was a decent save, but a couple of minutes later, that was all done. But he had a, Gibbs White was trying to play him through, but there was one chance in the first half which Wood had, and I think he got away from his man and he was going in to the area. And we was like thinking if that was a one, he would be away. But with Chris Wood, he probably hasn't got that burst of pace. It was very much a welcome return to the squad for Taiwo last night, because even though Chris Wood's had a decent return with so many goals in so many games or whatever it is, just have another decent striker, then they can chop and change kind of thing, keep them both fresh from now until the end of the season. So it was a welcome return.
As you say, you could see Saliba just didn't really know what to do with him. He kept on putting him on the floor.
Yeah, and he gave him a torrid time, didn't he, at the end, which on the first game of the season, and obviously the goal what Taiwo scored last season to keep us in the Premier League. But it was a welcome return. So we have
to return to that man. As we just mentioned, Turner's save. Shortly after that, actually, as well, there was a cross that came in and he caught it really, really confidently. And stupidly, I jinxed it by going, he's having a good game here.
He's...
Arsenal broke down their left. Williams had the ball, got a bit clattered, claimed for a foul, but it went out for a throw-in. They threw the ball in. Jesus has the ball on the byline, cuts inside, no angle whatsoever, and makes a shot. I think it's hit the side netting, and then I'm like, oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we was a bit all over the place, because I think Williams, we was like saying, what are you doing kind of thing, because you was never going to win that free kick. We're a bit all over place. They take the quick throw. Montiel just lets... Jesus run past him. Omban Badeli didn't close the space, which sometimes happen when you're a bit all over the place, things like that happen. And he hasn't, if he's absolutely smashed it at turning, it's gone, and you can kind of think, yeah, he should be saving that, but he has it. He doesn't get any pace on it. And when a goalkeeper, it becomes the common topic of all the podcasts from a Forest contingent throughout the season and not for positives, you know you've got a problem.
Yep.
And he's a clown. Honestly, is it whoever signed or wrote off the 7 million we spent on him has got blood on their hands, because they've given him a 4-year deal and some people have said it's data led. What data have they looked at to think he was, just because you play for Arsenal as a number two doesn't mean you're going to be any good as a number one. And I joked last night on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, and I says, Arteta was probably fought in the season in the summer. How am I going to beat Forest at the City Ground? I told him what I told Solomon, our goalkeeper, and he's gifted them. We were solid at that point. Bamidele and Murillo, they were superb last night. The game plan was going according to plan. But when you've got a goalkeeper who's handicapping you for all the good work by chucking a goal in, he's going to relegate us. I think they will be doing it this morning, and if not, they've been doing it for the last couple of weeks. I'll be scouring the globe with the best military surveillance equipment to find a goalkeeper who can keep goal for us because he's that bad. And he's awful, honestly. And like I says, like Leicester had problems with their goalkeepers last season, didn't they? As soon as the massive void left by Schmeichel, and then Danny Ward came in and Everson come in, and there's no trust in them two. And we've got the same problem now. Every time the ball comes near turn, I have to turn away because I sit up just above the away fans, and I'm thinking they're going to be cheering in a minute because he's going to like. And there was one last night where the ball come in and Odegaard's like running at him, and he's like dead jittery. And if Odegaard was a split second quicker, he'd got something on that, and potentially with Odegaard, he probably would have like got the ball dead and then just knocked it into an empty net. And I've said it before. We should have given the world to Samba if we could. Because we spent a lot of money on goalkeepers who obviously can't goalkeep. they're that bad. And I generally do think Turner will relegate us this season if we keep persevering with him. Because if you make one mistake as a goalkeeper, fair enough, it happens. Two, you're annoyed, but it happens. But when it's the eighth from ninth, and it's not just like over a few seasons, this is this season. Mm-hmm. And I think he's an absolute liability. And
this wasn't related to football, but I read a good quote this morning, which was a mistake's only a mistake if it happens twice. But as you say, it's happened nine. He must have cost us like 12, 15 points already. And we'll come back to this, but given our situation, that's a lot of points to lose.
This is a joke, but you know that program, Seconds to Disaster, by the National Geographic Channel? They'll be doing one on turn in a couple of years because it's a chain of events, and then the ultimate disaster, it could be, like I said, relegation. Forest need to find a goalkeeper who's capable. And the worst thing about it, somebody signed him off on a 4-year deal. And it's eye-watering when you look at the numbers and everything. So, we looked all right up until that point. Then he chucks that one in. Then obviously there's another mistake with Montreal.
I sit by the halfway line, and the most telling thing to me was you could see the players trudging back to the halfway line to restart the game, and they all looked disgusted. Absolutely. Yeah. It wasn't they were heartbroken at the goal going in. You could tell they were disgusted.
Once the trust goes with a goalkeeper, that's it. And Steve Hodge mentions to never trust a goalkeeper because if they make a mistake, it's quite telling that a goal usually comes from it. But it's a catalogue now, isn't it? And we're going into our next catalogue of mistakes because that's how it is with him. So, But the alternatives at the moment are no better, are they? Vlachodimos has had his problems. And you got Hennessy, who's his third choice for a reason, because he's getting on a bit. Then you're relying on George Shelby, aren't you? And you can't thrust the young kid in and with that pressure on him. So, first in the next few days, they've got to get a goalkeeper. They've got to.
Anyway, unfortunately, that wasn't the only mistake of the evening, as Forrest went up for a corner, ball spills out. Montiel, who was like one of the covering defenders on the halfway line, receives the ball, tries to play it down the wing, but instead gives it straight to Odegaard. Arsenal break very, very quickly. Forrest are outnumbered, and the ball goes across the D to Saka, who really can't miss from there.
Yeah, as soon as that mistake happened and we was all over the shop, it was just a sense of inevitability that Saka was, as soon as he got to Saka, you just knew it was in. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute superb footballer, and he's an absolute joy to watch. and he's been brilliant for England, and he's been brilliant for us. I mean, he is one of the best wingers, I'd say, in world football at the moment. I think he's that good. I think he's a superb talent. And yeah, so he's very gifted, isn't he? His left foot, right foot. And I think he hit that in with his right foot, didn't he? And as soon as it came to him, I thought, this is. But it just set the trend, didn't it? The first goal, and then you just know that there's a sense of inevitability that the second goal was soon going to follow, because we would have been chasing the game then, and especially from our corner. Montiel, you expect... He didn't have a great game last night, did he? And you expect a lot more from a Argentinian World Cup winner. And there's no in-between with Montiel. He's either good or bad. There's no in-between with him. No. He's 1 minute he's an 8 out of 10, and the next minute he's like a 2 out of 10. And yeah, you just players like that. It's a bit like Joe Worrell, isn't it? And I'm not saying he's as bad as Joe Worrell has been in certain games, but yeah, you just want a level of consistency. And yeah, he hasn't shown it since... he's arrived, kind of thing. So then it's 2-0, and unfortunately the game's up to a certain extent then, which we'll come on to in a minute about Awoniyi getting it was a consolation in the end, but it did give us a bit of hope, didn't it?
Well, yeah, so that was about 70 minutes or something, and then so basically it was us pushing forwards but then leaving gaps for Arsenal to scare us with. Luckily, they didn't manage to score again. And then actually in Montiel's favour, there was a point where ball was in our half. Montiel had run right up the right wing and was screaming for the ball. And a long pass out to him. He receives it, pushes it into Taiwo. I thought, I just said on our group chat, Taiwo looks really short of fitness. Maybe we put him on too early. And the ball sort of bounces off him, but somehow he recovers and pokes it home.
Yeah, he's an absolute nuisance, isn't he? You know, when he's like, because he's got that physique, you know, if he's in between two defenders, it's like some players like struggle to against two players, but he's like brought it down, and obviously he's got nice bounce of the ball, and obviously he's swept it in kind of thing, and that will give him no end of confidence. Because I think, I can't remember which, it wasn't the last the injury what he's just had. I think it was one bit, and it took him a couple of games to get going. Yeah. But that will give him a load of confidence and everything. And like he says, he's probably come on earlier than expected, because I reckon the game plan would have been keep him at 0-0 until about 60 minutes and bring a Lang and a Wani on. And then with the illness to Chris Wood, then obviously it's forced Nuno into making that change. So, it's nice to have him and Alanga on the field. Then obviously you're going to get the AFCON lads back. You're going to get Nyakati back, hopefully, at the weekend once he comes back. Is it in Ivory Coast, the AFCON?
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll be back in England in the next couple of days and start planning. But having said that, I think it'd be strength on the bench, because I don't think you can really drop Omobamadeli or Murillo. But having said that, Murillo has played a lot of games. So whether you just take him out the limelight for like a couple of games just to recharge his batteries, because now McKenna's gone, you've only got Murillo and Nyakati as the left-sided central defenders. So I think it's a nice luxury to have in the next couple of weeks, that Nuno can start resting players, because you look at some players and they played a lot of games recently, especially with the cup replays and the winter break, which never happened because obviously that replay at Blackpool. So it'd be nice to actually rest some players and they can recharge the batteries for this latter part of the season.
Definitely. So it wasn't all over for Taiwo. He had one more chance right at the death, but couldn't put it home. And then that was that. So 2-1 to Arsenal. A little bit of a scare for Arsenal at the end, but basically it was all a mistake of our own. It was all our own undoing. So we've got Chris Harwood here to tell us about the view from the opposition.
Arsenal arrive at the City Ground in desperate need of building some momentum. Whereas this time last year we held a commanding lead at the top, this season was proving much more challenging to put on a decent run, with a resurgent Liverpool setting the standard. Having said that, there has been positive signs in many games, with Arteta changing his game plan from a free-flowing style resulting in goal fests, and now he aspires our team to control the game completely and squeeze the opposition in all parts of the pitch. There was further motivation for us on Tuesday night to beat a team managed by a former Spurs manager. With Tavares ineligible and potentially leaving for France anyway, it was great to see two other Forest players in action, Montiel and Murillo. Judging by today's performance, these two are going to have a vital role in your quest to stay up. After a bright start, the Forest players elected to do what it seems many teams aim to do against us now. Sit back from the start, let us play, and watch us pass and pass and pass, and then hit us on the break. That seemed to be the pattern for most of the first half. From an Arsenal fan's perspective, it is incredibly frustrating to watch our players, such as Saka and Odegaard, who are able to score some incredible goals and show some awesome movement, reduced to playing in this way. It is a bit like playing in treacle. With 81% possession at half-time and nothing to show for it, the second half started with some decent Forest moves which seemed to wake us up a bit. We needed to stop trying to walk it in and show a more direct approach. But we seemed to switch, then switch again, with the aforementioned Montiel and Murillo doing a sterling job at the back. Finally, after a great move from us, Jesus was slid in, hitting the post, but he wasn't denied for long, as after a quick-thinking throw-in, Jesus finished well from a tight angle which megs Turner. It was great to see a former Arsenal keeper lining up against us. No jokes. I thought he was a solid number two for us, but it seemed he doesn't have what it takes week in, week out in the Premier League. I hope he proves everyone wrong in the long run, as he's a great character. However, not today, as after going 1-0 up, we seemed to relax, with Saka quickly finishing again after finally getting a bit of space past the frustrated Turner. It wasn't all plain sailing, though, as after some slow defending from our back line, a lucky break enabled Awani to finish from close range against Raya. There was nearly more to come from him, with an equaliser looming in injury time, but thankfully his effort went straight into Raya's welcoming hands. My heart was in my mouth. With your recent form since Santo's arrival looking reasonable, I think you will do enough to avoid relegation, as long as the looming FFP decision is kind. Good luck for the rest of the season.
The 1865 Match Report.
2024 is upon us, which means a packed schedule of FA Cup, AFCON, and of course, Premier League action. Beat the January Blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down at your local Green King Sports Pub. Don't settle for a dodgy stream. If it's on the telly, it's on at your local Green King venue across a huge HD screen. Huge. If you download the Green King Sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on, and you'll also be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. If you're doing dry January, then Green King venues also offer a range of low and no alcohol options, so you don't have to settle for a worse sports watching experience.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Okay, so that leaves us on, I think, 20 points. Reading a match report this morning, I hadn't realised this, but apparently at this point last season we were on 24 points. So that's a pretty worrying position to be in, especially with a potential deduction hanging over our heads with Luton demolishing Brighton last night. Things are looking a bit worrying for us. So let's start with the obvious. I think you made your feelings pretty clear on Matt Turner.
Yeah, we need a goalkeeper. Hopefully, Gio Reyna is on his way on a loan deal because of John Percy's basically confirmed that, and Fabrizio Romano's confirmed that. If we can get a couple of more in, and obviously, I hope Mangala doesn't get sold, but if he does get sold and it's £10 million plus profit, I can see the reasons why he would go, kind of thing. But with the AFCON lads coming back, I think this next few games is massive because we've got Bournemouth on Sunday, Newcastle and West Ham, I believe. Mm. And especially those two back-to-back home games. I don't think we've got a game in between them, have we? Don't so
checked, but
I know we've got the replay next week, but yeah, I think the next couple of games is we're definitely in a relegation battle. There's no two ways about it. And the way Luton have adapted them to themselves, because everybody thought they were going to be camel fodder, they won't get many points. And they got a really, really good win last night against Brighton, didn't they? 4-0. So I think, unfortunately, I think, because I've got some family who are Sheffield United fans, I think they've gone, basically. I just think they haven't got the quality to have a run of games and get a run of wins on the board to like put them in contention of staying up. So I think it's we're definitely in there. Everton, whatever, they keep having every single week. It's like potential another charge, and if the FA or the Premier League have their way, they could be like minus 50 points by the if they get their way with how many potential point deductions that. The media have been saying about them. And Luton, a bit like us, like last season, have really made the Kenilworth Road a fortress, haven't they? And they are picking up the odd result on the road, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, the next few games are pivotal for us. We played Newcastle, didn't we, on Boxing Day, and put them to the sword, really, with some clinical finishing from Chris Wood. And then West Ham are a bit hit and miss, aren't they? Some days they look fantastic, and other days they can't be arsed, like, i.e. the replay what they had against Bristol a few weeks ago. So yeah, next few games are massive for us, and if we get say 7 points out of those next games, I think it just keeps us ahead above the water, and hopefully we don't get a huge point deduction, which will undo all that good work if that does happen. But the next few weeks are going to be pivotal in the season, in my eyes.
I just wanted to add just on last night's performance. I have to say Murillo and Omobamadeli, but especially Murillo, were outstanding. I was slightly worried when I was watching the Blackpool game. They both looked like most of Blackpool's threats came from really, really sharp crosses, and they both looked a bit lost when that happened. But obviously Arsenal aren't the same sort of team, and up against Arsenal, they looked really, 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 really good.
Yeah, Murillo didn't give Jesus a kick, did he, until his goal. I mean, he defended really well, and every time the ball went into Jesus, he got a toe-in or whatever, and then Jesus was getting a bit rattled, didn't he, because he got booked for something. Yeah. Was it in the first half?
Ref.
Yeah, and Omobamadeli, it's took him a long time to... And I think it's more luck than anything else, because obviously with the injuries in the and obviously McKenna and Wall out of favour, and the lads going to AFCON and all of that, so he's got his chance, and he's been brilliant, hasn't he? And he's quite deceptive, you know, with his turn of pace. He is quite quick, and him and Murillo really forged a really good partnership. And I don't know how much English Murillo can speak, but and Omobamadeli he's got a really strong Irish accent. So, yeah, the language barriers kind of could potentially be a problem there. But they've forged a really good partnership. It's just unfortunate that the clan behind them can't save anything, can he, at times? So as soon as the sort of the goalkeeping situation out, I'll feel more confident with us defensively, because like I said earlier in this match report, for all the good work Omobamadeli and Murillo and the rest of the team did defensively, it was undone by bloody Poppadom wrists in goal. Hopefully we'll get a keeper in by the end of the window.
So we'll leave it there. So slightly worrying times, clowning goal and all that. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you to you, Tom. Thank you to Chris for the view from the opposition. We'll be back. It's Bristol next, isn't it? So we'll be back.
Bournemouth,
back with a report after that one. And then, so thank you again for listening. This has been the 1865 Nottingham Forest podcast.
Social Podcast Network.